KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and we're at 36 degrees. We look for a chance for light rain, possibly mixed at times with snow this morning, and a high around 41. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Well, the Creston Police Department today reports six arrests occurred over the past few days. On Sunday, Creston Police arrested 47-year-old Walter Hall Jr. of Creston on a warrant for failure to appear on the original charge of assault causing bodily injury. Hall was later released on $500 bond. 27-year-old Stephen O'Brien of Cave City, Arkansas, was arrested early Sunday morning in Creston for OWI first offense. He was later released on $1,000 bond. And just before 2 a.m. Sunday, 42-year-old Lindsay Willems of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. She was cited and released at the scene on a summons to appear in court. Saturday night, 25-year-old Jacob Malley of Bryant, Wisconsin, was arrested in Creston for public intoxication. And he was later released on a $300 bond. Friday evening, 23-year-old Trey Mills of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for simple assault. He was also later released on $300 bond. Friday morning, 61-year-old Kathy Beamer of Bedford was arrested in Creston on a Taylor County warrant for failure to appear. Beamer was transferred to the custody of Taylor County deputies. Creston police said also a woman reported Friday that at around 11 p.m. Thursday, someone broke a window on her vehicle while it was parked in the 900 block of West Adair Street. A purse was reported missing. Loss was estimated at $610. At least three area school district boards of education are set to meet during separate regular meetings this evening. First up at 5:30 is the Griswold School Board, and during their meeting in the conference room, old business includes the second readings of 400 series board policies and a COVID-19 update. New business for the Griswold School Board this evening includes, but is not limited to, the possible approval of video streaming compensation, a request for allowable growth and supplemental aid for 2019-20 with regard to special education deficit. Information will be presented with regard to the 2020-21 certified enrollment. The board will also consider activation status of the early retirement policy and discuss on camera and security upgrades. They'll also consider the allocating of funds for a rolling flag purchase. The Elkhorn-Kimbleton School Board meeting takes place at 6 p.m. in the conference room at the Elkhorn Building. Some of the things on their agenda include, under recognition and communication, the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Matt Schmitz family. New business for Exira EHK includes certified county numbers, administration set up for the rest of 2020-21 and 21-22, a certified annual report, the mask options, approval of a chain of command document and personnel matters to include the resignations of Susan Greving, or grieving at Stephanie Krause and Megan Peterson. They are paraeducators, and Rob bus driver Dave Anderson. New hires for Exira EHK include Tanya Lozano, bus driver, and Sam Moore, paraeducator. And the Audubon School Board will meet at 7 p.m. in the high school boardroom. Action items on their agenda include, but again are not limited to, applications to the School Budget Review Committee, or SBRC, for a special education deficit and hazardous material mitigation. The board will also act on approving virtual snow days, a change in the district attorney, mid-year graduates, save bond refinancing, and they'll act on approving a resolution setting the date for a public hearing and special board meeting to review and approve the plans, specifications, and form of contract for, and estimate the total cost of the middle school, high school HVAC system, electrical system, and other architectural improvements throughout the facility. They'll also authorize the fixing of a date, time, and location for receiving and publicly opening bids for said project. In other news, the Audubon School Board is expected to receive the district's final enrollment numbers and audit update and regular reports from the administration. Well, this is National Teen Driver Safety Week, October 18th through the 24th. The Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau is teaming up with law enforcement across the state to help empower parents to discuss the importance of safe driving habits with their young drivers. This week and every week, parents should have conversations with their teens about the important rules they need to follow to stay safe behind the wheel. This week or any time, authorities say, is the perfect time to begin and continue with the conversation and to remind parents not to hand over the car keys until their teen knows the rules of the road. Motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for teens 15 to 18 in the U.S., ahead of all other types of injury, disease, or violence. In 2018, there were 2,121 people killed in crashes that involved a teenage driver, someone 15 to 18 years of age, of which 719 deaths were the teen driver. There are several tips in the same story on the news page as part of National Teen Driver Safety Week with regard to alcohol and drugs, seat belts, distracted driving, speeding, passengers, and drowsy driving. Authorities note that in 2019, Iowa lost 39 young drivers between the ages of 14 and 20 in motor vehicle crashes. Seven of those drivers had a blood alcohol content over the legal limit. The Iowa Department of Public Safety and the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau encourages you to talk to your teen drivers about safe driving practices. Well, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department and Red Oak Police have taken a pledge to keep tobacco, alternative nicotine, and vapor products out of the hands of youth. Known as iPledge, the program is a partnership with the Iowa Alcoholic Beverage Division to educate local retailers and to enforce Iowa's tobacco, alternative nicotine, and vapor product laws. Since the program's inception in 2000, the statewide tobacco compliance rate has grown 91%. iPledge places emphasis on the retailer training. Clerks who successfully complete an online training course and then pass an exam will become iPledge certified. That allows a retail establishment to use an affirmative action defense against a civil penalty that the certified clerk makes an illegal sale. Officers and deputies will be conducting compliance checks on local establishments in Red Oak and Montgomery County as part of the iPledge program. Underage customers under the supervision of law enforcement officials will enter establishments and attempt to buy tobacco, alternative medicine, and vapor products, and clerks who make the illegal sale will be cited on the spot. Criminal penalties for selling to a minor include a $100 fine for a first offense, $250 fine for a second offense, and a $500 fine for third and subsequent offenses. However, handing out citations is not the intent of the iPledge program. By partnering with the Iowa Alcoholic Beverage Division, authorities say they hope to educate clerks and maintain a compliant retail environment in the community. Sheriff Sampson in Montgomery County and Red Oak Police Chief Ramey say, moreover, we pledge to keep tobacco, alternative nicotine, and vapor products out of the hands of Iowa's youth. Two sisters died and three other people were injured Sunday when two vehicles collided in Des Moines. That accident happened around 5 a.m. after a northbound Toyota car crossed into the southbound lanes and collided with a Jeep SUV, according to Des Moines Police spokesman Paul Friesick. About 1 inch of snow fell in the area overnight, and Friesick said the weather appears to have contributed to the crash. In addition to the two women who died in the crash, three other people are taken to hospitals for treatment. One is said to be in critical condition. The other two people have minor injuries. The women who were killed were identified as 22-year-old Jasmine Alondra Avila Areola and her sister, 18-year-old Daisy Sophia Areola, both of Des Moines. A new report says damage estimates from a rare windstorm that slammed Iowa and other parts of the Midwest in August are growing. The total is now $7.5 billion. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, said the August 10th derecho is currently the second costliest U.S. disaster so far in 2020, although cost estimates for the widespread wildfires on the West Coast aren't yet available. The August storm hit Iowa hard, but also caused damage in Illinois, Ohio, Minnesota, and Indiana. The most expensive disaster so far this year was Hurricane Laura, which caused $14 billion in damage along the Gulf Coast. Kamala Harris, the Democratic Party's vice presidential nominee, told an online audience of Iowa Democrats that the outcome of the 2020 election will affect every part of our lives.
And the future of health care hangs on top of it all, because President Trump is in the Supreme Court right now trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
Harris was the closing speaker during the Iowa Democratic Party's annual fall fundraiser last Sunday night. It was held online this year because of the pandemic. In her recorded message, Harris called President Trump's approach to COVID reckless.
This is the greatest failure of any American presidency. And make no mistake, his failure to contain this virus is what has wreaked havoc on our economy. Of course, he's not alone. Trump's Republican Party has followed his lead, including many here in Iowa.
Harris, a California senator, promised a Biden administration would invest in the nation's infrastructure and take action on rural issues.
And will reverse the disastrous trade war that has hurt our farmers. And we'll stand with our corn growers and bolster the ethanol industry.
Iowa Democrats featured a battleground beverage tour during the fundraiser with virtual stops in each congressional district. Recipes came from the Town Square Coffee House in Orange City, the Primrose in Corning, the Atlantic and Pacific Club in Knoxville, and Vivian's Soul Food in Cedar Rapids. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.